from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
11:05 of Gresh and Fourier, rolling along here on this Tuesday. Got me thinking of UFC. This is, whenever they're getting ready for the start of pay-per-views in-house, they have an unbelievable like montage music video that is set to this that runs for about like 4 minutes in the arena. There's nothing in sports to get you ready.
You ready to fight somebody?
Oh, it's awesome. It's just like now in the NFL when you hear the music and the players come running out, and then there's an awesome anthem, and then they stand 5 yards away from each other for a banging kickoff. Oh, the excitement.
That took a sarcastic turn.
Seriously though, like here's the thunder of opening day. Let's all go out there and play patty cake on the kickoff.
That's not always patty cake.
I hope they change it back. I really do. I don't like the fact that they're just, hey, everybody, we're cranking it up. For those about to rock, here's the kick. And no one's running and there's no movement and maybe there'll be a little bit of a return or whatever. I don't know, man. It's just so, like, you get jacked up for the beginning of the game and you're thinking about the opening kickoff and, here's a funny formation that looks like it should be in the XFL.
Do I now need to ask you if there's five things you like about football in general?
Oh, no. I love it. Christmas. Well, they are taking the physicality out of it. I mean, there is that, too.
Within 50 years, it's flag football. Accept it.
Do you love the new kickoff rule then, I guess? You're looking at me with scorn, but
I just don't judge things based on the preseason.
So you're painting me as to being the bad guy or whatever.
I've learned the preseason is stupid. So I will wait till the regular season to see if
what the hell is going to be that different during the regular season on that rule.
I think there will be some trap blocks on kickoff returns.
And boy.
I'm interested to see how this plays out. Right now, it's a big, but it's the preseason. And over the years, I've just done too many of these where we've got 17,000 illegal contact calls. And then in week two, those are all gone because they were trying something and whatever. So I'm just going to wait to say I hate the kickoff rule till like week two. See what coaches do. See if anybody's creative.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to be noble guy and point out everybody else cracking on the rule now.
Because I also think there may be some good returns and some big returns. You may see some Cordarrell Patterson's streaking down the field.
I mean, like we used to even under the old rules.
Yeah, but they got rid of those. I mean, I'm old school. I was a freaking D3 wedge buster, so I'm all for it. The reason I can't remember names when I do nights with Rich Keefe and go, the receiver, the little guy, is because I was busting wedges back in the
day. With
in
Keith,
organized chaos.
Well, with Keith, they're all the same, the wide receivers. We know that.
That's true.
So.
He loves them all equally.
Yes, exactly. But they're all, his top 10 has 50.
This is 100%. 100%.
But he does own it.
I asked him when Josh Gordon actually was removed from the top 10. Like 10 years after he stopped being good, Keith finally removed him out of the top 10 receivers.
Like, does he have T.O. still in there at number 10 waiting?
Yes, that is. And he owns it. He admits to it.
He does.
I give him that.
He does own it.
Credit.
He's like, I love them all. He can't help himself.
Equally. Although it's weird that the Patriots put together a core that he doesn't really love anybody. Every team has great receivers that
Keith lusts yell at him, too, for not jumping in with all these wide receivers right away? He's the wide receiver guy. He should love them.
Because he doesn't have
his balls.
And the guy that he probably would want to be drawn toward, Javon Baker, has not been great this summer.
You know, Javon Baker looks like a much bigger project than maybe we once thought.
I think you're seeing, good and bad, why he was a fourth-round pick.
Agreed.
Because he has talent that probably should have been drafted higher, and then he has warts.
There's no consistency
that are lower.
There.
No consistency.
That's the real problem with me. And
I think there's an attitude issue, too.
I was going to say, and even in hearing some of the stuff coming out of practice, it's like, well, today, oh, he's on. But today, he's off.
He stops routes.
Yeah.
He has bad body language.
Mm-hmm.
He is running, I think, with the threes for coaching purposes, not just talent purposes. I think it's like, oh,
they
you
need
think
him.
You're something.
Right, we're
going to
put you against the threes and see if you can really get people
also
out of wheelchairs.
Also, think you're not in great shape and maybe get your ass in shape by double repping you. Yeah, you were running with the twos. You're also going to run with the threes. So Javon Baker is an interesting one, but he would be the guy that I think Keith would want to like.
No,
we'll
I
just
think
see if he does. But you know how the first step towards Keith liking you?
What's
when the
that?
Quarterback throws it 55 yards down the middle of the field and hits you in the hands? Catch the damn ball.
Yeah, that would that help. People would get some confidence in that. I almost want to ask the people if they can come up with five things that they're excited about.
I think that's a great question. Five things you're excited about the Patriots.
You can't even come up with five.
Oh, I absolutely could. We'll do that in the 12 o'clock hour.
Yeah, yeah. Let me think of
Give
them.
Me a little time.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Hey,
Drake
May.
Hey, I'll point the finger at you all the time, but damn it, don't ask me.
Drake May is one. And I'll give you another one in the 12 o'clock hour.
Sure. Sure. Elliot May. Elliot Wolf
you
is one
for me. You started with the freaking executive vice.
Yep.
A guy who wears a tie and has a great title.
Yeah.
So you have nothing.
Well, you told me to give you five. That's one.
You're excited about the geeky guy at the microphone saying that the tackles are good.
I'm excited about the soon-to-be jacked-up kicker.
You don't even know if he won the job yet.
He won the job. They've already told
You're
us
You're excited about Joey Sly?
Yeah.
You're a Sly guy.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a bombing team this year. So he's the guy that you can, Joey Sly's the guy you can grab in the last round of your fantasy draft and know he's going to give you good production.
He's not.
Because he's going to kick a ton of field goals this year.
I don't think he is. You got to get over the 50 to get a ton of field goals.
This will be the, being positive. And how do you correlate Drake May as one of your positives? And then, well, they're not going to get past the 50 very much.
Because we are in Chiefs Super Bowl against the Bucks. Remember how excited people were about incomplete passes in that Super Bowl? Because Patrick Mahomes was like, oh, that was a great throw. Incomplete, but it was a great throw. That's where we are. We learned that last Thursday night. We're in the land of appreciating incomplete passes that looked cool. That's where we are. And my guy, Drake May, will be doing that all year long.
Sure.
And I am positive about that.
Sure, you are. I'm positive that I'm wrong.
Well, I'm positive that I am going to love Drake May all year.
Better chance a win on opening day for the Patriots or give up 35 and lose?
I think it's 35. I think it's 100%. Now, this is an interesting question to me because there's some people that think, remember the old Mike Vanderjagt line, ripe for the picking? There are people that think the Bengals are ripe for the picking because Joe Burrow has this wrist thing he's coming back from that's a little weird and he can't throw on three consecutive days, blah, blah, blah. Ja'Marr Chase hasn't taken part in team activities. T. Higgins wants a new contract. Trey Hendrickson wants a new contract. There's this whole idea that the Bengals are ripe for the picking. Now, I'm not sure I buy into it Because I think Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase can roll out of bed on whatever the hell the date is in September on that Sunday afternoon and kick the living crap out of you because they're that damn good.
And if Burrow is dinged up, he's going to be his healthiest week one. So you actually catch him at the worst time to get a good quarterback that might be hurting.
And they're going to target that with their buildup. Mm-hmm. If he can't throw 3 days in a row, I don't really care. I just need him to throw that day, opening day.
Correct.
Right? And remind people, as he said, that he's still one of the best quarterbacks in football. Don't forget about me. So, and I am not as sold, you know this, on the Patriots' defense being dominant, especially post-Judon, post-Barmore. Christian Gonzalez, I think, could be eye-openingly bad in that game. Because I think Christian Gonzalez, did you watch last Thursday night and happen to see that John Ross ran right by him? Now, Pickett missed him. That's part of the reason Pickett is a backup quarterback and not good. When Ja'Marr Chase runs right by Christian Gonzalez, I think Joe Burrow will probably hit him in stride and then be dancing in the end zone, and Christian Gonzalez will be like, that's bad rep by me.
By the way, John Ross, who just, I do believe, walked back in off of retirement.
Yeah, oh yeah. Bust of a first-round pick, retired John Ross, toasted your number one cornerback. So I think the Patriots defense has something to prove, that they're going to be able to shut down good offenses. I think the Bengals are going to be a good offense. I think the Bengals, there's a better chance that they score 35 on opening day than the Patriots going to Cincinnati, a team that I'm predicting to win zero games and win their opener.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it'll be the give up 35. Like, I don't know if it's going to be that bad.
Might not be.
But I'm totally expecting this thing to be tilted. And the first half, I think the Patriots against Cincy will, you know, it'll be the whole, well, we've been sitting on this, you know, we've been sitting on that. It'll be the, well, this is all the stuff we haven't shown in the preseason.
Josh Uche told us earlier
that Cincinnati,
DeMarcus Covington's got some aggressive stuff, all gas that he's ready to unleash.
Great. And you know what? And in the first half of that game, they will. And then here come the adjustments, or the better players take advantage of some of the opportunities you're going to give by being aggressive. And then you end up, you know, losing comfortably, let's say.
All right, guys, all gas.
But I'm with you. Even before the Barmore injury and all the Judon kerfluffle and all that stuff.
Good word.
I thought the defense would regress a little bit because, well, coaching number one, but also we're expecting everybody to come back and have the same level of production or even better for this group to be better. And this is where the old phrase of complementary football. So we haven't heard it much ever since Mayo took over. But, I mean, we've heard a ton about collaboration.
Oh, boy.
But we haven't heard about complementary football because, as we found out last year, what can be the best or the worst thing for a defense that can actually slow some people down? An inefficient or ineffective offense. Mm. And this year, I think it's a better chance than ever that we thought the defense was in some tricky spots last year. At least they had some field position to work with. This year, you got to be much more worried about the field position the defense would be working with if this offense is going to be a bunch of three and out or mistakes, or, you know, as we even saw in the preseason with kind of the pseudo ones in there, shooting yourself in the foot on first down, and then you're in second and 15. We've seen that story for 2 years now. We don't need to see it for a third.
Plus, I would say this team could give up 35 points with the defense only giving up 21. I think there's a chance the offense could give up 14.
I totally agree.
Whether they're directly pick sixes or just
fumbles or whatever.
Stupidity, and all of a sudden the other team is 5 yards away from the end zone.
I also argue that a part of the reason that Drake May might not play that early is I think even now, we're safely 4 weeks in, correct? Is that safe to say? When they started, was it July 23rd or something like that? We're 4 weeks in, and I don't know if there's 100% trust that the guy can deal with the snap under center. But again, it's not to crap
on... I don't know if I trust the center.
It's
the centers he works with stink.
Well, it's not to crap on the kid, but it's like, that's going to be a him thing because, and you mentioned it, when you're the starting quarterback, get comfortable with your hands under all their asses.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at the center and say, well, they may not be great, but that's for the quarterback to manage, you know? Like, and that's one of, by the way, just real quick, that's one of the sneaky, underrated things about Tom Brady's career is, like, we hear about Manning and Jeff Saturday, right? And then it became Manning and Copen, right? So for that was, what, almost 15 years plus of Peyton Manning's career? It was those guys. And Brady, it was almost like dial a center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about all of the different guys. I mean, that guy won with Brian Stork and freaking Ryan Wendell as his center, for God's sakes.
That's true.
It's amazing.
And part of that could be because his rookie year, if you recall, not his rookie year, his first year
his
as a starter.
First year as a starter, yeah.
He had to deal with two different centers because Woody couldn't shotgun snaps. So they would have to switch off. And so he was dealing right away with just a weirdness at the center position right out the gates in his career.
Now, again, I know Thomas Patrick Edward Brady, Edward Patrick Brady, whatever, is the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But if that guy can play with all those centers and deal with the snap, then damn it, kid, get your hand under their asses and figure out how to handle that thing. Because the last thing the Patriots need is, oh, yeah, quick change turnover. Here we go. We're going to run a big handoff to Ramondre, and then boom. You can't get the center quarterback exchange.
And it has happened a lot on the practice field.
And the other thing, too, is don't you think it becomes mental for the kid at some point?
What do you mean?
For Drake. The whole, we've had a lot of snap issues on the practice field. I know it's been more than just Drake May. I know Milton is struggling with it, too, and the centers are a part of it. But I think for Drake May in particular, considering he didn't do much of that in college, it can really get into the head quick. And that's a real AVP call right there.
And the more things that are in his head, the worse it is for him to perform and the worse it is for the team.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the simple reality.
No, I agree. That's why I want him nowhere near this short game on Thursday night against the Jets. I heard Wiggy talking about it and stuff. He was like, oh, yeah, put him in there for the Jet game. I'm like, it's a short week. No.
Week five, Miami.
I'm with you.
Buzz will be huge. Robert will be happy. Jonathan will be happy.
It's
home game, and now I guess Brady's doing the game.
It's either Miami or Houston, and oh, my God, that's the other part
of it,
too.
Brady gets to watch Drake May's first start firsthand.
Oh, yeah, blood flow down there.
Stuff writes itself.
Yep, very much so. It's one of those two. I'm with you. It's five or six.
By the way, fans on the text line are offering up some of their five things that they like about the Patriots, so I do think we could sprinkle that in over the remainder of the show.
Yeah,
the optimism.
Yeah. The 401, five things that he's excited for. May, Pop, White, Pop, and May.
Boy, I love it.
They're lining up for Heart, boy, I'll tell you.
Everybody
is going to prove their point
it's
on the
Mayday
five things
here.
They like.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fourier on WEEI.
Lunchtime Parlay coming up in 20 minutes on Gresh and Fourier. Hart is in for Foyer today. We were two strikeouts away from another parlay hit over the weekend. Skeens. Now he's only getting Chicken Nick. Now Paul Skeens only getting like six or seven strikeouts a game.
Yeah,
not
he's in a real
eight
slump.
To 10.
He's giving up four hits a game.
What a bum.
Seven strikeouts.
Yep. What
he
a
stinks.
Livy Dunn's gonna leave his ass. He keeps
was dressed up as him throwing pitches at FanFest.
It was pretty cool, I gotta say. At Fanatics Fest,
that's
look,
what it is.
Yeah, Fanatics Fest. My God. They had Tom Brady coming out of the WWE tunnel there that they were doing the entrances, and he tried to come out like Hulk Hogan. And then there was Gronk doing his, which was pretty amazing, as one could imagine. But we've been hot on the parlay. We'll see if that continues with Hart in the house. 617-779-7937. Let's see here. Here you go. Andy Hart's been all over the, come up with five positive things and bam, bam, bam.
Mostly for you.
The 508 texts in, five things I'm looking forward to with the Patriots this season. Number five, Drake May. Number four, Christian Gonzalez. Number two, Keon White. Or number three, Keon White. Number two, the money I'm going to win when they go 0-16-1 and then the number one overall pick in April. That's what you're looking for, Hart.
Well, I mean, you can enjoy different things. I actually think that's a reasonable take.
I try to. All you do is tell me not to.
No, that's a reasonable take. He enjoys the young talent that's here, and he enjoys that the young talent will be learning while losing to acquire more young talent.
So you're, wait a minute.
It's a fair take, fan.
So this is beyond.
Don't let Gresh beat you down.
So this is beyond confounding now. So the five things are supposed to allegedly be positive, but rooted in two of them, negativity.
You started with the damn GM. Who's not even a GM.
Yes, he is now.
EVP.
He just happened to make all the picks, and then they gave him the job.
Well, now he's EVP. He's not even a GM. They got an AVP and an EVP.
Well, we better hope that...
There's something witty in your head. I feel it. I feel it percolating.
We better hope that Coach Mayo is the MVP of being lucky enough to hire AVP and that he doesn't pee down his leg and trying to get QB1 to not throw picks.
AVP is an interesting guy in this whole thing.
Well, because if he stinks.
And you already have people calling for him to change his scheme, and he's not highlighting May's strengths and blah, blah,
we're
blah.
We're in the preseason, y'all.
Have you noticed?
Yeah,
we are. And not only are we in the preseason, this idea of the ones, like Drake May needs time with the ones, which I push back on because I feel like this team has like three ones.
Thank you. That's what I said.
I don't know the difference between the ones and the twos in a lot of spots.
Of the O-line, they got eight guys that are fighting for all these spots.
But the most important one is number three, DeMario Douglas. I would like to see Drake May get more field time with DeMario Douglas because DeMario Douglas has shown he can get open. He's going to be the quick throw. Oh, you're under pressure. Don't think you always have to run. Sometimes the answer is throw it to number three because he just beat his man in the slot and we'll take the 6 yards he's going to pick up, and that's a really productive play for us. I would like to see Drake May on the field with DeMario Douglas more. Now, I know Jerod Mayo spoke this morning down in Gillette. He said everybody's healthy. He's going to play against Washington. So this is, you know.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
You don't trust him, do you?
No, but it's the whole pop thing. I could see them at the end of the week being like, bubble wrap him. Don't even put him out there.
And that may be fair because that's going to be the question with him because I think that guy's going to catch 100 passes. If he's healthy for 17 games, I think he catches 100 passes.
Well, there's
Brissett, May, whatever.
And that is the big if. And I love Pop Douglas as much as anybody, but that's really it's going to be the durability. But also, this is where you have to try to trust your quarterbacks in trying to keep that guy healthy. And I know that we've taken more physicality out of the game, but one of the things to help keep Pop Douglas healthy is to throw him those balls over the middle that he can catch and still protect himself.
Mm-hmm. Get down.
Yeah.
Live to fight another play.
Like, one of the fair critiques of May coming out of the better performance against the Eagles was, if you're going to throw the ball over the middle or to the outside, you better get them things down.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be throwing them high to where they get tipped. We know it's danger zone and all that. That's kind of but for me, a part of the reason why I'm hoping we get 4 weeks without May is so that guys like Pop Douglas, who did get hurt last year, now translating to another offense, has a couple of weeks to, more importantly for him, to get out there, get the feel back, stay healthy. Then here comes the kid, and then maybe that can grow even more. I still think, you know, we've gone into the Christian Gonzalez lane with Pop Douglas. Oh, he's going to be good no matter what. Just put him out there type thing. You even mentioned 100 catches if he stays healthy. That's like those who are saying that Gonzalez is going to get 9 to 10 picks if staying healthy.
The difference, I would say, I've seen it on a football field a lot more often with DeMario Douglas than I have with Christian Gonzalez. He played, 15 games last year, something pretty decent, and showed he could get open against NFL coverage, and he has shown he can get open against NFL coverage this summer, including you guys, you people, who think this defense is going to be stud worthy. I lumped you into you people.
Yeah,
that's what
great.
I do.
So, yeah, of course.
But
yeah, you hate everything. What are your five things? They're not good enough. Oh, you people.
DeMario Douglas has beaten Jonathan Jones and Marcus Jones with frequency on the practice field. And people tell me that these corners are really good, and these corners are going to be part of a really good defense. So, no, I've seen more with thine own eyes, for DeMario Douglas than I have from Christian Gonzalez. DeMario Douglas can play slot in the National Football League. Sniff. I sniffed.
Yeah, it'll be the, there's my heart caveat of the day.
Let me
point out at everybody else for saying all the things that I say, but I'm going to paint them negative because I'm the guy that walks around with my own T-shirt.
It was a gift.
Sure.
Just like me. I'm a gift.
Yeah, you're putting yourself over.
Somebody's going to put me over.
Barry Horowitz in it, for crying out loud.
If you can't promote yourself, hey, who's going to?
Have we forgotten about the rest of the AFC East, by the way? I feel like I have not even thought about anything other than the somewhat mess we're seeing down in Foxborough in terms of getting ready for the season. But it kind of feels like with the Jets, I'm almost at the, all right, when is Aaron Rodgers going to say something stupid point? I feel with Miami, we're going to start to hear the propaganda begin.
Okay.
Because the propaganda is going to be, oh, no, we play defense here too. No, you don't. And you proved it. And you showed it by letting Christian Wilkins go because you had to sign a fifth wide receiver for $8 million a year or whatever the hell it was.
Well, also their quarterback.
And then and then you've got the Bills where supposedly they have the savior in Josh Allen, but what else have they put around the guy? Or now it's the, we gave him Steph Diggs, and Diggs turned out to be a baby, so now we got to let the quarterback kind of lead these people. Do you even care about the rest of the AFC East anymore, Hart?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I care in the sense that part of my thinking that this is going to be a really tough season in New England is because I think the rest of the AFC East is pretty good. You're looking up that division. Like, I don't think the Patriots are necessarily much worse off than, say, the Panthers, the team they beat in the preseason opener. But the Panthers play in a division where there's a lot of questions about a lot of teams.
The last place team in that division for, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years became the first place team right. The next year. It's a really weird. The NFC South is odd.
It always is.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe Atlanta's trying to change that. You bring in Kirk Cousins. Now you're adding a Matthew Judon and you feel like you're a contender. Whatever. Maybe you will be. But that's a different thing than the AFC East. The Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets are pretty talented football teams with no questions at quarterback. They know who their guy is. I'm not saying their guy is awesome.
Correct.
But they know who their guy is.
Position certainty.
Absolutely. Where that's not true necessarily in the NFC South. So from that perspective, I just think the uphill climb, and also, you know, two of the teams are pretty freaking stacked talent. Well, the Jets are stacked talent-wise.
The Jets should win the division.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, everybody thinks the Jets are going to Jets it, or Rodgers is going to Rodgers it.
There is that.
Something's going to happen. And there's also the flip side of that. People like to mock Josh Allen, but Josh Allen is the guy who wins the AFC East until proven otherwise. That's what he is right now. He's won it 4 years in a row, I believe. Is the division champion?
Sure, it's made such an imprint that you remember exactly how many in a row he's won.
But that's the reality. Well, because I get caught up in the narratives of people telling me Josh Allen stinks and he turns the ball over too much and all this. Well, he wins the division. And I was always taught in Foxborough that those are hat and t-shirt days. Like, those are sort of the first goal. Win your division. That's the first step in the process. Now, here's where Gresh goes, maybe he should complete some of the other steps in the process. I get it. He hasn't won anything.
Oh, no. They'll just cry to get the rules changed because they didn't get to touch the ball in overtime. Wah.
It's like the Patriots did when they didn't make the playoffs with Matt Cassel and they tried to change the playoff rules and they didn't think it was fair.
Sure, and led by a team well before that.
Let's add a team because we didn't make it.
And then all the pass interference stuff. Yeah, we can go round and round on these
teams. They all bitch when they lose.
Yeah, exactly.
They all bitch when they lose is the reality of the NFL. They're all sore losers. But no, The division is good. Until you prove to me that there any of those teams are going to fall on their face, I'm expecting all those teams to be competing for double-digit wins.
Is that fair? They
all think they're 10-win teams.
And if the Jets didn't have a complete idiot Hardo as a coach, I'd be way more bullish on them if they had a proper professional in
like
there.
Like Bill Belichick.
Well, either Bill Belichick or Mike Tomlin or Sean Payton or someone like that.
One of those guys is available. Midseason football story of the year
would be that Bill takes over mid-year.
For the Jets. The Jets would be
a level jump.
Wait, what'd you say?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is the head coach of the NYJ?
I thought you left amicably.
I did.
No.
Here's the knife, and I'm going to twist it and then snap it off, just like in prison.
You
like a shiv.
Son of a bitch, yo. And then hangs up the phone.
I mean, that would be the greatest story that could hit the NFL this season, correct?
It would be
Aaron Rodgers and Bill Belichick with the New York Jets looking down at the New England Patriots in the AFC East, now pursuing a Super Bowl. The Jets can't win, but oh boy, they got the greatest winning coach of all time. Like,
if the Jets don't come through this year and Rodgers is like, I'm going to give it one more, does he pull the LeBron and get the
his
head
own coach?
Well, to get Bill in there. I mean, we know those two guys are, Bill and Rodgers are both odd in their own ways.
Correct.
But yet, I think with Rodgers, as long as he is working with someone where he really can't question their FBI, let's say, the football intelligence, like Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be able to sort of approach Belichick as he would these other people. And, you know, it's like I'm going to listen to Robert Saleh.
No, they have a weird affinity for each other. I think it's unified in, A, their greatness.
I
think they both see each other's as like, we push back on authority that's inappropriate. And we have the balls to do so. We have the cachet to do so.
There is very much that. We talked to Ian O'Connor on Friday, who just wrote the book on Rodgers. Yep. And I asked about him being political. And he was like, no, Aaron really isn't that political. He's just a contrarian.
Absolutely.
And that's where him and Bill would connect.
Like, if you tell Bill he has to do something, Bill says, you think I have to do something. I'm not doing it.
Right.
And if you just maybe kind of coerce him into doing it, he probably goes along with
it. And then there is like the Bill Jedi mind tricks of the, well, Rodgers hasn't listened to anyone like this since he was a rookie. And it would be like, you know, where they'd ask Rodgers, would have to be like, well, it's Bill Belichick. Like,
that would be awesome. The more I think about it.
Oh, it would be delicious. Which means, of course, it's not going to happen.
Chance.
It'd be
no
too,
chance.
Yeah, we're.
It's too perfect and it's too dreamy. And, you know, the best case scenario you could wish for in that light is probably the Cowboys. That's probably a more realistic possibility.
And old Jarrah?
I don't know.
Bill?
I mean, because the other thing, would Rodgers just do an internal coup and try to get Hackett as his head coach, because that's his boy, and just sort of push Saleh out?
Yeah. I think some of the other players might be like Aaron.
Garrett Wilson. He seems like he's got a little pushback to him.
Yeah, and Buddy Hackett is not long to be a head coach again in the NFL.
Nope.
I
think the only place he'll ever get the shot is if Aaron Rodgers somehow pulls off a coup.
Or if the Tommy Boy Davis turns into his old man and just decides, hey, I hired your dad. Or your dad hired my dad.
Generational
one of those deals.
Next generation.
Yep, absolutely. And then 50 years, we'll get the thirds in there.
Yep.
And then they'll jump all over that as well. But it's amazing. You know, in everything that's going on with the Patriots, I have not thought very much about the AFC East at all. And normally this is where we would be doing the, what are the important games to end up getting to the playoffs or winning the division? And there's none of that.
Sadly.
We're more of the, hey, everybody, enter the contest to circle what game Drake May will eventually start in this year.
Yeah, it is.
Which is fine with me. Give me 4 weeks of everybody trying to figure it out. Initially, I was 8. Fine. Week 5 or 6, I am with you. They probably start them at home.
Yep.
And then it's the, and if I got it right, They go Jaguars game, and then it's
in London.
Yeah, in London. But then it's right back to it. I don't think that
their bye is like week 13.
That's the thing. Yeah. So they didn't catch the bye after the London game because I thought maybe the London game would be the place that you put them in there. It's like, you know, it's kind of fan friendly. You know, won't get booed.
Oh, yeah,
won't get,
definitely, yeah,
you know
no,
what
it's
I mean?
That weird, generic, fake crowd.
Give him his first time to make those mistakes away from everyone so that he can get a little learning experience and then kind of come back across the pond. But I don't even know if it's going to set up that way. So
nope. Week five, I'm telling you. Circle it. Week five, Dolphins.
Five or six is where we're at. I'm kind of with you on that. You know, the other question is, what if Brissett gets dinged early?
Well, then you got to put him in. It's what happened to the Chargers. That's how Herbert played.
Well, no, I know that, but I'm talking about like on the field, you prep for the game, and then it is the, you know, at least it was the, that happened beforehand.
Doesn't matter.
How about Tyrod Taylor, by the way? They're pumping up his swag. And oh. No, but they're the whole, he's like Mr. Fashion Plate now, is like a backup quarterback. Well, all that money he probably won from that doctor pays for a pretty nice collection of clothes.
What a world we live in.
Oh, yeah. Kidding me?
That's the one thing I like about Drake May. He has no logo yet, right?
Give it time, brother.
Doesn't have a marketing campaign?
He hasn't met his Giselle.
So that's good. Drake May, that's another plus. He is focused on football and being an athlete. He doesn't need a logo and he doesn't need to a brand. He's not selling merch on a website.
My God. You know,
another positive for Drake May, baby.
Hey, you know what it sounds like?
I'm a maniac, maniac.
No, you'll remember this from the early Bledsoe Brady days. Brady's a different kind of guy because he doesn't do his press conference in a press conference.
Right.
He does it at the walk-up.
He's just one of
the
teammates.
He's just one of the dudes.
Yeah. Yeah.
1 year later, the Tom Brady press conference will begin in room 2 at noon.
Right.
Like, fix that stuff real quick. Right. That's what you sounded like. That's what that reminded me
true.
Of 20-plus years ago, the whole he's a normal guy because he just does it in front of his locker.
It was true then that he did it in front of his locker, and it is true now. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do a quick Google if you want.
I don't believe
Drake May has a brand or a logo or a website of marketing merchandise.
How long do you give it, a year or 18 months?
A year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to get on the field before he can roll it out.
Well, you'd think that, but plenty of guys in this day and age don't. Sony Michel had a logo like straight out of Georgia. Sony Michel. Imagine that.
Now you can monetize those.
Yeah.
Whereas before Sony
Michel. Doesn't mean you should.
No, but whereas before Sony Michel had to, you know, go the old Eddie Sutton route of getting his, you know, money mailed in a FedEx or something.
How about establish something before you have a. Brady said that at one of those. He was at. With Drake May at the Fanatics Rookie
Whatever.
Symposium something.
The Michael Rubin White Party.
Yes.
Fine.
Sort of that.
There you
down
go.
That road. He said that's his criticism, like all these guys that are so worried about their brand instead of their team. Because Brady went brand, but he was already the greatest quarterback of all time when he went brand, when his TB12 and the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was decade
himself.
Two of Brady.
It was decade
said,
two.
Yeah.
It was the Giselle era when she's
no
probably
doubt.
Chirping that you need to monetize
Tommy,
everything.
Your brand is so big.
Correct. Excuse me?
Your brand is so big.
I thought you said something else.
Huh?
What?
Wang? Huh? A lunchtime parlay's next.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Oh boy, your five positive things about the Patriots. Hart was yelling at me. Oh, we got a couple of good ones that just came in. Really good ones.
We got a problem around here when I'm the guy who needs to drum up the positivity. Just saying.
Steve Burton does it. Dan Roach does it. Who are you to...
Comes more naturally to them.
Who are you to... Please.
People like to paint me as like this negative, cynical, angry...
Yeah. Good check all the boxes. There you go.
Touche.
I got to ask you about the guy who just left.
Don't even get me started on pronoun guy.
You realize there's got to be... He forgot Matthew Judon's name mid-question.
30 years, Hart. 30 years in the business and still leaning on pronouns.
We all forget things. He forgot the name mid-question and was trying to tiptoe through it the best way he could. He didn't. It happens.
Yeah, I miss Bill.
Oh, not him.
That might be the greatest answer besides the what did your dad teach you here in this preseason game number two? Well, Steve, we're just trying to get through the GD half. See you later.
But the second part.
He's moving on to better place?
That. Even yeah. Steve Burton knows this place stinks.
He gonna get paid. Maybe.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, Judon got choice. Hopefully when I get traded, I get that, too. I want to get to that later.
Yeah, he got his contract.
Huh? Who, Ramondre?
Yeah.
He got his first one.
Yeah.
Lunchtime Parlays presented by FanDuel, America's number one sports book and the official sports book of WEEI. To unpack Friday's parlay, only Paul Skeens didn't come through. Caitlin Clark went under 10.5 assists. Jairzinho Rozenstruik won the decision against Shuey Vasa. And Song Kanaan with a win over Ricky Glenn as well. So let's get right back up on the horse once again here. I'm going to go with a guy starting for the Dodgers named Gavin Stone. Over 5.5 strikeouts against Seattle. If you just look at the numbers, Seattle strikes out a ton. Simple as that. Give me a guy who's not a massive strikeout pitcher against a team that has been swinging it the way Seattle has this season. There's opportunity. I'm going over 5.5 strikeouts for Gavin Stone. We welcome back Billy Laney. Billy, good morning.
What's up?
Billy, you went 4-1 while you were away.
Did I really?
Yes. If you could be 4-1 this week, that would be something.
Yeah, not happening. All right, so what I'm going to do, we'll start out with the Red Sox. Sox are in Houston to play the Astros. Simple bet. Give me the Sox on the money line in Houston.
There you go. That's a Sox money line plus 114 at last look. Chicken Nick, what do you have, friend?
Going with a team the Red Sox are chasing, and that would be the Royals. They are at home hosting the Angels, and I don't know if you guys know this, but the home splits for the Royals are like otherworldly when it comes to their road splits. Bobby Witt Jr. is an entirely different player at home. So, give me the Royals at home against the lowly Angels on the run line tonight, -1.5.
It's a great number. They're going to pace them, I think. And then finally, for Fourier, here's Hart.
Did Nick just accuse the Royals of cheating,
they
doing
might,
something
there's
shady?
There's something fishy going on.
So if that's
every
what I took
player
from that.
Has like a no, 200 OPS play higher at home than
Nick
on
is.
The road.
He's accusing.
No. There's something going on that fishy. It's fishy.
I just took it as Bobby Witt's an MVP candidate, and he's really good
at home.
He is hitting over 400 at home. He's hitting like 220 on the road.
Oh, so he's Dante Bichette from 1998
except
or whatever.
He's not in Colorado.
He's not in Colorado.
Interesting, Nick. So I am a simpleton. The Reds have lost 3 in a row. The Reds, depending on which website you check, are starting a pitcher named TBD or undecided today.
Uh-huh. TBD is from Japan, I do believe.
I think TBD and undecided both stink. I don't care which guy takes the mound today. So give me the Blue Jays on the money line to win that game.
Blue Jays -170 against Cincy, who just got wiped out by Kansas City over the weekend. So Blue Jays, money line. Royals, run line. Red Sox, money line. Gavin Stone, over 5.5 Ks against Seattle. Throw $10 on that, folks, and you get $125.58. Go get you some on today's Lunchtime Parlay. We'll get that out on social media. Gresh Fourier, WEEI on Twitter. You can get us on Instagram, Gresh and Fourier. Spell the A-N-D in between our last names. We'll talk baseball with Will Fleming next.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Oh, boy, your five positive things about the Patriots. Hart was yelling at me. Oh, we got a couple of good ones that just came in. Really good ones.
We got a problem around here when I'm the guy who needs to drum up the positivity. Just saying.
Steve Burton does it. Dan Roach does it. Who are you to...
Comes more naturally to them.
Who are you to... Please.
People like to paint me as like this negative, cynical, angry...
Yeah. Good check all the boxes. There you go.
Touche.
I got to ask you about the guy who just left.
Don't even get me started on pronoun guy.
You realize there's got to be... He forgot Matthew Judon's name mid-question.
30 years, Hart. 30 years in the business and still leaning on pronouns.
We all forget things. He forgot the name mid-question and was trying to tiptoe through it the best way he could. He didn't. It happens.
Yeah, I miss Bill.
Oh, not him.
That might be the greatest answer. Besides the, what did your dad teach you here in this preseason game number two? Well, Steve, we're just trying to get through the GD half. See you later.
But the second part
he's moving on to a better place?
That. Even yeah. Steve Burton knows this place stinks.
He's
going to get paid. Maybe.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, Judon got choice. Hopefully when I get traded, I get that, too. I want to get to that later.
Yeah, he got his contract.
Huh? Who, Ramondre?
Yeah.
He got his happy. First one.
Yeah.
Lunchtime Parlays presented by FanDuel, America's number one sports book and the official sports book of WEEI. To unpack Friday's parlay, only Paul Skeens didn't come through. Caitlin Clark went under 10.5 assists. Jairzinho Rozenstruik won the decision against Tsuivasa. And Song Kanaan with a win over Ricky Glenn as well. So let's get right back up on the horse once again here. I'm going to go with a guy starting for the Dodgers named Gavin Stone. Over 5.5 strikeouts against Seattle. If you just look at the numbers, Seattle strikes out a ton. Simple as that. Give me a guy who's not a massive strikeout pitcher against a team that has been swinging it the way Seattle has this season. There's opportunity. I'm going over 5.5 strikeouts for Gavin Stone. We welcome back Billy Laney. Billy, good morning.
What's up?
Billy, you went 4-1 while you were away.
Did I really?
Yes. If you could be 4-1 wow. this week, that would be something.
Yeah, yeah, not happening. All right, so what I'm going to do, we'll start out with the Red Sox. Sox are in Houston to play the Astros. Simple bet. Give me the Sox on the money line in Houston.
There you go. That's a Sox money line plus 114 at last look. Chicken Nick, what do you have, friend?
Going with a team the Red Sox are chasing, and that would be the Royals. They are at home hosting the Angels, and I don't know if you guys know this, but the home splits for the Royals are like otherworldly when it comes to their road splits. Bobby Witt Jr. is an entirely different player at home. So,
wow.
Give me the Royals at home against the lowly Angels on the run in, on the run line tonight, -1.5.
It's a great number. They're going to pace them, I think. And then finally, for Fourier, here's Hart.
Did Nick just accuse the Royals of maybe
I did.
Cheating,
they
doing
might,
something shady?
Something fishy going on.
So that's
every
what I took.
Every player
from
has like a
no,
high, 200
I,
OPS play higher at home than
Nick
on
is.
The road.
He's accusing.
No.
There's something going on that fishy. It's fishy.
I just took it as Bobby Witt's an MVP candidate, and he's really good
at home.
He is hitting over 400 at home. He's hitting like 220 on the road.
Oh, so he's Dante Bichette from 1998,
except
or whatever.
He's not in Colorado.
He's not in Colorado.
Interesting, Nick. So I am a simpleton. The Reds have lost 3 in a row. The Reds, depending on which website you check, are starting a pitcher named TBD or undecided today.
Uh-huh. TBD is from Japan, I do believe.
I think TBD and undecided both stink. I don't care which guy takes the mound today. So give me the Blue Jays on the money line to win that game.
Blue Jays -170 against Cincy, who just got wiped out by Kansas City over the weekend. So Blue Jays, money line. Royals, run line. Red Sox, money line. Gavin Stone, over 5.5 Ks against Seattle. Throw $10 on that, folks, and you get $125.58. Go get you some on today's Lunchtime Parlay. We'll get that out on social media. Gresh Fourier, WEEI on Twitter. You can get us on Instagram, Gresh and Fourier. Spell the A-N-D in between our last names. We'll talk baseball with Will Fleming next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.